This fall, we've already had plenty of news about structures expected to change the local landscape. Crystal Bridges announced an opening date. Walton Arts Center announced expansion plans. Last night, near the banks of the Arkansas River in Fort Smith, the staff at the still very much in progress U.S. Marshals Museum had their turn.
May I have your attention, please? Would the meeting come to order? Judge Spears, I may have to have you gavel this meeting.
Jim Dunn, the executive director of the U.S. Marshals Museum, started the rather informal information session last night from behind a podium. Behind his left shoulder, an image of the museum's design, a star-shaped building that will be visible from Interstate 40 as it crosses the Arkansas-Oklahoma border. Over the next 50 minutes, the staff of the museum discussed finances, the museum's mission, and more. Jim Dunn opened the session to questions about halfway through and asked the first question himself to himself.
When are you going to break ground? I don't know. Okay, I'm ready for the second question.
Before ground can be broken, more money must be raised. He says about $6.7 million can be spoken for now, admittedly a small stack of money compared to the estimated $50 million eventual price tag. Jim Johnson, who's heading up the next several rounds of fundraising for the project, says the money raised so far compares favorably to similar events he's worked with.
The World War II, National World War II Museum, 6 years before they got to the end of their event. The National D-Day Monument in Bedford, Virginia, 7 years before they even started and reached the point that we are now. And then the U.S. Navy Memorial in Washington, D.C., 12 years for them to do what we've done in 2 years.
And Jim Dunn says remembering that the actual work to raise money has only been taking place for the last 2 years is key. It may seem like the effort has been underway longer, since the city actually engineered a highly publicized campaign to win the museum 6 years ago. It wasn't, however, until 2007 that Fort Smith was actually selected as the host city. Then, two 501(c) nonprofit corporations had to be formed, a board appointed, and architects and exhibit designers selected. Dunn says measuring public expectation of the project's timeline is a subtle task facing the staff.
They want it to happen tomorrow. I want it to happen tomorrow, but projects of this magnitude don't happen overnight. So, yes, we do have to deal with that, but it's... It also helps us because most people really want to help and want to volunteer and want to be involved in it, and we can accommodate them in most instances.
The museum's bank account is expected to have more money a year from now. Staggered campaigns to ask for contributions in Fort Smith, Northwest Arkansas, Central Arkansas, and around the country are scheduled. Fort Smith and Northwest Arkansas campaigns will begin next year, and a coin possibly minted by the U.S. Treasury, commemorating the 225th anniversary of the U.S. Marshals Service, could aid fundraising as well. Again, Jim Dunn, the executive director of the U.S. Marshals Museum.
The coin legislation, of course, had to be signed by the president, and then the coin would have to be marketed. And the bill presently provides for three coins, a gold coin, a silver coin, and a clad coin. There's a surcharge levied against each of the three coins, and the collector who pays for the coin would actually provide the funds that would then go to the Marshals Museum. There would be no taxpayer funds involved whatsoever. It would be all from private collectors.
Legislation backing that coin has the necessary 67 Senate sponsors in Washington, but Dunn cautions that such bills don't always have a speedy trip on their way to becoming reality. Still, he estimates such a coin offer could generate up to $5 million for the museum.
Another program that's been underway now for about a year and a half is a primary source toolkit.
Talk last night wasn't only about money. Jessica Hayes, director of museum operations, explained that even without walls, the museum has started education and outreach programs. The toolkit she mentioned is available for free to schools anywhere and discusses the U.S. Marshals' history and the Marshals' role in the creation of the country, including copies of correspondence from George Washington.
There's a letter in here from his secretary telling the Marshals that they're now responsible for taking the census. So along with that is a little bit of information about the census. The second section covers exploration of slavery. So it talks about the fugitive slave law. It has political cartoons. It's got some arrest warrants. It's got some judgments. It has a slave receipt. And then the last section covers early challenges. So we have the Whiskey Rebellion and then also the Sedition Acts.
The kits were created with financial support from the Arkansas Humanities Council. Earlier this year, the museum participated in an event in New Orleans that reunited deputy U.S. Marshals in charge of escorting six-year-old African-American children into a newly segregated school district in that city in 1960. Jessica Hayes says just these few stories point out the intertwined history of the U.S. and the U.S. Marshals. After all, she points out, the U.S. Marshals Service was established by U.S. Senate Bill No. 1 in 1789.
Signed by George Washington. As agencies, before a lot of agencies were established, they did their duties. One of the most interesting things is you can really explore how our nation's laws have changed in the evolving of the Constitution. If you look at like 1850 in the Fugitive Slave Law, the marshals were responsible for enforcing the law. So they were arresting slaves who were purported to be runaway slaves. And then you fast forward 100 years and you have deputy marshals and marshals who are protecting the rights of African Americans and ensuring that they can go to the polls and vote, that they can attend the school of their choice. They are protecting them as they march for their rights. So it's a really interesting study in how one agency has been so involved.
And while there is the national narrative that the museum, when constructed, will tell, there is also the deep connection the U.S. Marshals have to Fort Smith and the Judge Isaac Parker era, when so much territory was under the jurisdiction of marshals in the border town. At the meeting last night, Jim Dunn was pleased to announce a rather important acquisition that represents the tie between the U.S. Marshals Service and the city, the gun and badge carried by legendary Marshal Bass Reeves during his tenure. The artifacts had been in possession of a great-nephew of Reeves.
This, you might say, is the holy grail of artifacts from the Judge Parker era. It will be coming home.
Other artifacts from a previous Marshals Museum in Wyoming have been transferred to Arkansas and are under lock and key, waiting to be exhibited when the museum opens sometime in the future. Jim Dunn, executive director of the museum, says there will be more public forums dedicated to the progress of the museum over the next several years. And you can hear questions that members of the audience had about the project and the answers provided online at OzarksAtLarge.com. Oh, there was one more question for Jim Dunn. He was asked if he thought next week's national release of the movie True Grit, a movie centered around a fictional U.S. Marshal based in Fort Smith, would help the staff efforts to increase recognition and funding for the U.S. Marshals Museum.
That movie will bring Fort Smith to people's minds. It brings the U.S. Marshals to people's minds. And we intend to capitalize on that connection. We would love to get Jeff Bridges involved in the project and some of the other actors involved in the project.
True Grit opens in theaters across the country a week from today. And the city of Fort Smith will be ready. We'll have details about next week's Gritapalooza in Fort Smith on tomorrow's edition of Ozarks at Large.